Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Carolyn Dean as my special expert guest. Dr. Carolyn Dean is a medical doctor, naturopath, herbalist, acupuncturist, nutritionist, lecturer, consultant, and author. Dr. Dean graduated from Dalhousie Medical School in 1978, holds a medical license in California, and is a graduate of the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto, where she served on the Board of Governors for 6 years. Dr. Dean has been in the forefront of health issues for over 30 years. She has authored or co-authored over 30 books, makes regular TV and radio appearances, and is the medical director for the Nutritional Magnesium Association. Dr. Dean conducts a busy telephone wellness consulting practice, assisting individuals with all types of illness at any stage or degree of severity. She lives in Hawaii on the island of Maui with her husband, where she enjoys swimming, snorkeling, and spending time at the beach and outdoors. Good morning, Carolyn, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. Good to meet you, and thank you. I got almost tired of you reading my bio there. Gosh, that's too much going on, isn't it?
You've got a very impressive background. What I love is the fact that you have both the conventional and so-called alternative training, and maybe you could just take a moment and reflect upon the value of that. What is the difference between you and maybe someone on each side of the camp? Has it given you any advantages?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the public is brainwashed into believing that conventional medicine is the only form of medicine. So by having both the MD and ND training, it gives people the confidence that I know both sides of the picture. And what happened with conventional medicine, as you may know, they created a monopoly that began in the 1920s with the Flexner Report. And that was a means by which the Carnegie and Rockefeller foundations were able to establish a so-called scientific medical monopoly in North America. That information on the Flexner Report is online. People can read about it and read how the allopaths worked alongside the wealthy foundations, and they removed osteopathic schools, they removed the women's medical schools, they removed the black medical schools at the time, and they made medicine a white upper class privileged position. And we're all suffering from it. I wrote about all this in my 2014 edition of Death by Modern Medicine, and I think it's important for people to know the reasoning behind why doctors are so focused on just their drugs and surgery standard practice of medicine, and it's because they've never been even exposed to anything else.
So as a naturopath, you have, I guess, insight in terms of causality. Because that's what I love about alternative medicine. It draws me to what I'm interested in, and that is what's causing the problem, and it's always a multidimensional approach. So knowing what you know, how does that help you get a grip regarding the individual state? What is your technique, and what are some of the things that you've learned through your own experience that help you actually help people get well?
Right. Well, I'd go right to the principles of naturopathic medicine. I did my medical training first, but I always had the natural medicine approach. You know, my heart was in natural medicine. So when I read the principles of naturopathic medicine when I did my naturopathic training, they're listed as the healing power of nature. So you know that nature is going to do the healing for you. You take your therapies from nature. And to that end, I work a lot with minerals and try to get the minerals that the body will absorb, because now our vitamins are mostly synthetic, our minerals are hard to absorb. We've had the recent studies about calcium, which is about 4% absorbed, and now we know that women who take calcium supplements are at a much higher risk for heart disease and kidney stones, gallstones, heel spurs, breast tissue calcification, which leads doctors to believe they have breast cancer just because we're not working with nature. Another one is identify and treat the cause, as you say. And my underlying work is with mineral deficiency and yeast overgrowth. Most of my clients, I have a telephone consulting practice, most of my clients are mineral deficient and they have yeast overgrowth, and it's not being recognized. The first do no harm, that supposedly is in my Hippocratic Oath, but how can doctors have said that sentence in their Hippocratic Oath and then be given drug prescriptions? Because any drug prescription can be harmful, and doctors don't recognize the side effects. I guess they don't want to think that they're harming people, but even worse, when someone comes with a drug side effect, they treat those side effects with more drugs. You have the statin drugs that do cause muscle pain and debility, even the rhabdomyolysis, which is disintegration of muscles, and the doctor will just say, oh, you're developing arthritis, here's another drug. And the last two, doctor is teacher. I mean, my own radio show, I'm doing 2 hours a week just teaching people. I've got over 700 blogs and articles out on the internet. My 108 Kindle books are up now. And I've got a 100-page CV listing all the media that I've done over the past 30 years. The last, here's treat the whole person. Of course, medicine forgets the mental, emotional aspects of a person. On my radio show just 2 days ago, a gentleman said that during his 20 years of having multiple sclerosis, no doctor had ever mentioned it could be triggered or exacerbated by stress. And that was my first question to him. And then there's prevention. I say to people, staying healthy is your best and probably only defense against hospitals and medications.
I remember reading some work by Dr. Mendelsohn, and he talked about modern medicine like a religion and depicted the church and the prophets and all the rest of it. Now, should I hold the doctors blameless because they're unaware? Or do you think that most physicians, because they seem to be rather intelligent, they have backgrounds in science, are they actually doing this with knowledge and insight and simply don't care? Or do they suffer with some form of cognitive dissonance where they can't accept what they're doing but continue to do it in the belief that they're actually helping people?
There's some of all that, Corey. What I was told in medical school was that if you don't learn it in medical school and in your training, it's quackery. We were told don't go to chiropractors. Back there in the mid-70s, there weren't even naturopaths. There was no naturopathic school anywhere in the vicinity, so they didn't put down naturopaths. But they really cautioned us against doing anything outside of what we would learn in medicine. And that is what guides doctors right now, that if you haven't learned it in medical school, it's not going to be helpful in your practice, so don't worry about it. It's you know, quackery. And you'll see that attitude. I hear it all the time in my clients where they say, well, I told my doctor that I'm taking magnesium and it's helping my heart palpitations and my sleep and my muscle cramps. And the doctor will say, oh, well, that's not possible. Magnesium causes diarrhea. And it's just used as a bowel prep for colonoscopies. And that's as much as they know about magnesium, whereas magnesium, I've written books on it, magnesium controls the whole body because it's necessary in 700 to 800 different enzymatic biochemical reactions in the body, including making your energy, the ATP, adenosine triphosphate, in the 8 steps of that Krebs cycle. 6 of the 8 steps require magnesium. So if you have low energy, you go to your doctor and you say you're not sleeping, you describe your magnesium deficiency symptoms, you'll go out of the office with a prescription for an anti-anxiety med or an antidepressant, rather than the doctor just saying, oh, well, you better increase your magnesium.
Well, you're an expert on magnesium. You're the director for the Nutritional Magnesium Association. Let's talk about that. I mean, it must be so big and so important to you that you and maybe some colleagues created an actual association for one mineral. I mean, let's talk about it. How close are people getting to optimizing their intake of magnesium?
Well, the ones that happened upon my book, and there are hundreds of thousands of those, they're getting the message. And what I'm hearing on my radio show, people calling in and in my emails, is they immediately pass this information on. And the Nutritional Magnesium Association, you could say that's part of my role as doctor, as teacher, and the naturopathic principles. And we do outreach in the print media, internet, radio, TV media, to get the word out about magnesium. And it's a great site, lots of studies and reports and articles. And actually, folks can sign up for our newsletter and receive a free booklet that I've written on magnesium. And it is a matter of education. You see, what we've got to do with nutrients, as you know, Corey, it's educate the patient, get them to do their own research, get them to be, in the case of magnesium, slowly introduce it into their lifestyle and see how they feel, and then guide themselves. I am not interested in patting someone on the head and telling them exactly what they should do and exactly what they should eat and exactly how many steps they should do in their exercise program. We have to make people responsible for their own health by giving them the information and saying, look, your body and your intuition and your psyche knows more about yourself than any other living person, and you better get used to it. We can no longer follow the allopathic model that, okay, I'll take care of you and I'll tell you what to do. That has not worked. And what I say to people about magnesium, it's the safest mineral to take. If you take too much or take too much all at once, you will get diarrhea, so you don't take it all at once. You break it up through the day. But even so, if you're saturated with a 100% absorbed magnesium, you will get the laxative effect if your body has too much. And I've seen people taking the right kinds of magnesium and getting over their atrial fibrillation, getting off their medications. And the doctors don't like it at all, but people don't want to take medication if they don't have to. And unfortunately, doctors are trained to keep people on medication and not help them get off it. What's happening there is doctors don't see people getting better on medication, but they blame the disease instead of blaming the very drugs that they're giving. Because every drug that you take will deplete magnesium. And the drugs that are most commonly used tend to be very powerful drugs with fluoride molecules. And those fluoride molecules will actually bind up magnesium in the body and give you a lot of side effects. I mean, we hear about Cipro, the antibiotic. Well, Cipro is a fluoride drug, and that fluoride molecule will bind up magnesium, causing a brittle magnesium fluoride compound to deposit in the muscles and tendons. And what's the major black box warning about Cipro is tendon rupture. So what's happening is you get muscle pain, muscle spasm to the point where your tendon ruptures. And another side effect of Cipro is atrial fibrillation, which is a magnesium deficiency symptom. So we've got Cipro and Prozac and Paxil and Lipitor, Flecainide, which is crazily enough an antiarrhythmia drug. It has 6 fluoride molecules. So you're taking a drug for a magnesium deficiency problem and giving yourself even worse symptoms. Inhaled anesthetic as fluorine has 6 fluoride molecules. I can't tell you how many patients I've talked to who say, I've never been well since this particular surgery. Well, it could be because you go into surgery already stressed out with your magnesium depleted. You have an inhaled anesthetic that depletes it so much further, and you can never recover. Prevacid has fluoride. Even the antifungal drug Diflucan has fluoride. Celebrex has fluoride, and Flonase, an antihistamine. So many of these drugs are actually causing the problem. Doctors think you'll never get better. You better keep taking your drug. And they will scare the living daylights out of you to try to get you to keep taking those drugs.
Yeah, what a terrible way to gain compliance by fear.
Yeah.
What about your own personal intake of magnesium? What form do you take? Capsule, tablet, powder? When do you take it? How long have you been taking it? Do you take it for a specific need or as a prevention? Can you talk about that?
Well, actually, that's how I got into this. I used to have heart arrhythmias and horrible leg cramps. I was a dancer when I was a kid. Great big humongous calf muscles. And without magnesium, muscles go into spasm. Your heart will go into spasm without magnesium and cause palpitations and even angina and heart attack in the extreme case. So actually, Random House back in the late 90s asked me to write a book on magnesium. And I thought, well, that's crazy. How can you find out that much information for one book, like you said, about the Nutritional Magnesium Association? So when I started doing the research, I pretty quickly realized, oh my gosh, my symptoms are magnesium deficiency. But when I tried to take enough magnesium for my symptoms, I got the laxative effect because I also have some mild IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, for which I wrote the Dummies book, IBS for Dummies. But anyway, when I tried to take magnesium for my symptoms, I got diarrhea, and I had to do a lot of Epsom salts baths. Epsom salts are magnesium sulfate, and that helped a lot. I began to spray magnesium oil on my body to be absorbed through the skin, and that helped a lot. And then the past 10 years, I was trying to talk mineral companies into making a non-laxative magnesium. And finally, I had to make my own. So I have my own product called Remag, and it's 100% absorbed at the cellular level. And I've actually been able to watch people come off IV magnesium and onto Remag and do better on oral magnesium and get higher levels of magnesium levels. And it's because it's an oral form that they can put in a liter of water, they can sip it through the day, so they're always perfusing their cells with magnesium. I work with other minerals as well. I must throw that in because I don't want people to think they can just OD on magnesium and everything will be fine, because it's all the minerals that are required in the body. I tell people to do my Remag and my Relight and a sea salt. Even sea salt will start helping people. All the minerals want to do is get inside cells and do their job. When they get inside the cells, they pull water after them, and then the metabolism goes along quite nicely. And by pulling the water in properly into the cells, you have perfect cellular hydration. You stop all this fluid retention that people have out in their tissues. You make the cells work properly. And when those minerals are sitting inside the cells properly, they will kick out chemicals and heavy metals and start to detoxify the body. So when I put people on the proper minerals, I say start slowly, because your body is going to get rid of what it doesn't need, because it's very happy with receiving the minerals that it does need. So the magnesium, I personally, because I'm such a magnesium waster in a sense, I need about 1,000 milligrams of elemental magnesium a day. And when I get the other minerals as well, I do need less. So it's, and these are things that people can read there. I have free booklets on all these minerals that people can access through my website.
Yes, that's excellent information. Thank you so much. Now, what do you say to someone who's into the health food? They're naturalists, and they'll tell you they eat whole natural food, a natural diet. I don't need vitamins. Vitamins aren't natural. We never had them in the past. I'm just going to eat my food. Do you think they have any position whatsoever, knowing what you know?
Yeah, I say to them, good luck with that. And my best examples are these, I call them fanatics, that say that you can drink 140 ounces of green drink a day and get everything you need. Well, I've had several of them as patients, and they come to me because they have heart palpitations and leg cramps, and they're magnesium RBC blood test, that's magnesium red blood cell, shows low magnesium. And they whine and complain, well, I'm taking all these vegetables, all these greens, they're all organic, you know, what's going on? Well, the soils are totally depleted. If your organic farmer does not put rock dust back on the soil, does not put mineral fertilizers in the soil, there's no way in creation you can get minerals into plants if it's not in the soil. And besides that, in conventional farming, they've killed off so many of the organisms, the nitrogen-fixing bacteria, the worms that break down minerals, that those plants don't absorb minerals. Plant rootlets are size-dependent for the size of minerals that they pull up into the plants. And that's the size, it's called picometer size. That's the actual size of the cell mineral ion channels that allow minerals into the cells. And that's what I work with, the picometer size minerals, the same as plants. If we could get our magnesium and minerals from plants, fantastic, but we cannot do that.
It was on your website in module one of your wellness program. You talk about eating what our ancestors eat. I love that model. Tell us what you mean by that. I would assume you are advocating an omnivorous plant and animal-based diet.
Yes, absolutely. I go by blood type diet to a certain extent, which means that from a northern climate, a southern climate, by what foods you're exposed to when you're growing up, your body has certain enzymes that are adapted to certain food groups. And when we all get into the worldwide melting pot, most people are eating far away from their ancestral diet. And even now we see anthropologically what's happening. You take India, as the Western food came in gangbusters, there's epidemics of diabetes, obesity, and heart disease in India. And some people say, well, you know, wow, we don't know what's going on. But, I mean, there's the processed food aspect of it. But they've come away from their traditional diet. So it's important for people to know their roots and also, to, in my opinion, to eat a broad-based diet and not be fanatic on any one modality. Because, see, now with so many people being ill with chronic diseases, you have all these fad diets out there telling people, oh, you have to eat this way to be healthy. And what that tends to be is that person had some sort of miraculous cure of their condition, but it does not translate into everybody else in the world. So again, you have to look at what makes you feel better. Avoid a food for a couple of weeks and then have a whole bunch of it and see how you feel. That's the only way you'll know. Even the allergy testing I'm not so keen on, because in my world where so many people have yeast overgrowth, the yeast is irritating the small intestine, making a leaky gut through which your most commonly eaten foods are going to be absorbed. And then your allergy testing comes back saying, oh, you're allergic to everything you're eating. And that's not to do with having an allergy to those foods, but your gut being irritated and leaky and absorbing molecules of those foods.
Wouldn't the evidence of what you're promoting be obvious in the state of Hawaii? I'm thinking of the local people and their original diet of poi and breadfruit and fish compared to what they're eating today, you know, the spam and the white rice. Don't they have some of the worst diets in the world and also some terrible health statistics?
Absolutely, absolutely. Obesity, diabetes. I mean, the same can be said in the native Indian population, where I visited one pueblo once and they said they had the highest per capita number of dialysis machines on the go. So yes, you succumb so quickly to a processed food diet when your body has been used to eating natural food. You just don't, it's like you don't have the resistance to smallpox, which disseminated the Native American population. So it's just common sense. Our bodies want to eat food from nature and live in a more natural way. I don't know how doctors and scientists can reconcile the fact that they don't do any nutrition training in medical school and keep telling the doctors, well, just tell your patients to eat a good, healthy diet and that'll be fine. But we've gone so far beyond that that it's almost criminal, the lack of knowledge about nutrition.
How do you explain how the world's leading Nobel Prize laureates, physicists, biologists, professors, now, as a whole, what I see in them is absolutely a complete disregard for exercise and nutrition. Okay. They seem to eat white bread and anything that's going around. They don't seem to care at all, and yet they're held up as the world's most intelligent humans. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with that paradigm, and why don't they get it themselves?
Well, I mentioned earlier, in medical school, we were told we would know everything we had to know by cramming all this information into our brains over our medical training, and nothing else mattered. And diet and nutrition, there's no specialty in medicine for nutrition. It's the dietitian's job. And to me, I sort of got the impression, well, that's kitchen work, you know, that's women's work, you know, we're more scientific. Well, in medical school, I remember bringing up in a pediatric lecture, I just read in Prevention magazine, a study showing breast milk was better than bottled milk. And I happened to mention it in class, you know, 100 students, there was a pediatrician, and I mentioned this study, and he said, oh, Bubbles, he called me Bubbles, totally put me down, and said, oh, well, we can do much better scientifically. And 2 weeks later, I heard he apologized to the second year class instead of my class, a first year class, and said, yes, he'd read the study that breast milk is superior to bottled milk, but that's their attitude. They actually think science is superior to nature. And because they're told that you'll learn everything in medical school, everything else is quackery, then that continues their evidence. And about fitness and exercise, of course, crucial, totally crucial. But the few studies that are done on exercise, they're not so much covered up, but they're not promoted in any way. Drug companies control research funding, and they don't want those studies performed or promoted. When I lived in New York, I became one of the sort of natural medicine experts on The View, Barbara Walters' show. And I was probably on there a dozen times talking about natural things, but immediately that the television advertising was allowed for drugs on TV ads, I was banned from the show. They just didn't invite me back, because you can imagine if you're paying a few million dollars for a drug ad on a major TV show, you don't want anybody coming on and saying, oh, by the way, you know, you can take deglycinated licorice instead of antacids for your heartburn. So there's definitely the media is focused on getting money from drug advertising and is not going to promote anything natural.
To something else. Carolyn, you know, we're running out of time. We could go on and on. I'd love to talk to you again. What is your website address and what will we find there when we get to it?
Yes, thank you. It's drcarolyndean.com, CarolynDean.com. Actually, you can sign up for my free newsletter. I do a couple blogs a week. And with that, you get the first free modules. You mentioned the ancestral module. You get the first 4 modules for free, and then you can decide if you want to join for the 2-year online wellness program. And from there, you can look at my various products that go to my other website, rnareset.com. And you know about the Nutritional Magnesium Association. It's nutritionalmagnesium.org. And just Google me. What I say to people, Corey, is instead of asking me to answer private emails, because I get hundreds a day, Google your question with my name beside it, and an answer will probably come up.
Yes. You know, and I was just a young pup starting off. I think I was like 17, and I read Paul Bragg. He talked about Hawaii and how beautiful it was, and I eventually went there at 18 by myself to discover that, and I was completely blown away by its beauty, mm-hmm. the land, the aloha spirit, the history. So I know you're not living there by accident. You could live mm-hmm. anywhere in the world. Why have you chosen Maui? What is it about Hawaii that attracts you to it? Is it a wonderful, beautiful place to live?
It really is, Corey. It's just, I'm looking out now at the ocean and just everything is green and flowery, and the spirit is here when you go up top Mount Haleakala. It has, Pele is the spirit of Hawaii, and some people can't take it. Some people, there's too much energy here. You get to smile too much, and some people I don't want to say they want to live in their misery, but some people don't realize that we create our own joy. And by appreciating everything we have and focusing on that and not paying any attention to what we don't have or to our aches and pains, we can actually see them wither away. And I think that's what Maui does for me and for people who are here. It makes you appreciate, and everything else falls away.
Dr. Carolyn Dean has been my expert special guest. She's a doctor, a medical doctor, a naturopath, herbalist, acupuncturist, nutritionist, lecturer, consultant, and author. She's in the forefront of medicine. She's absolutely committed to nutrition and fitness and all of the elements that make up holistic medicine. Dr. Carolyn Dean, we thank you so much for what you're doing and all of the support that you're providing to individuals and the world.
Thank you, and I can say the same for you, Corey, and all that you do. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.